2:30 rolls on. It's the time has come. It's opening week. We're here. We've this hibernation is over, and we awaken anew. Anticipation through the roof, I think, for this home opener, and I hope anticipation through the roof for this episode. We got a big one today because we are, as I said there, at the top of the heap. Just the star players left. Just the best players on the team. Just, I'll say it, maybe the best player on the team today. Somebody that doesn't get put into the conversation, I think, often enough as the biggest star, the biggest ranking in their position at current moment on the entire team. We talked about a lot of pitchers so far in this series. A lot of them, there was a lot of ways to explain the things. And then there's a guy that I love, like Kevin Gausman, where it's just straightforward. Here it is. You fucking hit it attitude. I love it. I love to watch it. It's easily digestible for me as somebody who is too dumb to understand what's going on in pitching a lot of the time. It's very easily digestible. This guy comes out and throws 100 and then throws a splitter. That makes a ton of sense to me. It's almost like a video game approach. We're talking about Kevin Gausman today, probably the best player on the team. And we have got probably the best guy on the beat to talk about it. This man, I go way back, man. I feel it's crazy. I was talking about this with Fair Service. It's been so long and it's been so short. I feel a huge part of my ability to be somebody that people listen to for Jay's content is in large part to this man right here. One of the real OG motherfuckers at what this whole internet coverage of baseball and Blue Jays and baseball teams were supposed to be. And boy, we've come a long way in media from then to here. We've come a long way as people from then to here. The road has many twists and turns, and it leads us back together once again. I'm so thrilled to welcome Mr. Andrew Stoughton to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here. I've been enjoying the series a lot.
Oh, thank you very much. It's been illuminating. I've had some rabbit holes. There's been some rabbit holes. The big rabbit hole was I did Varsho and Kirk like really close together, and the rabbit hole about base running value that sent me down. Lost me like 3 days. Yeah. Because they can both hit the same number, and the value that they are able to extract from how they go about those numbers sort of like really fuck with my mind. But there are certain things that are fairly straightforward, and that is the dominance of the player we're talking about today, Kevin Gausman. Before we get into the whole situation with Kevin Gausman, before we peel back the layers of last year and look forward to this year, your just sort of general thoughts on what it's been like to have Kevin Gausman and sort of his impression. I don't want to say in like Blue Jays lore, but sort of where you view him as a guy that they've signed and had come out and performed for the first 2 years.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, like you say, it's straightforward, right? It's like, come and try to hit this. It's a wonderful thing to watch. Because they always talk about like two pitch pitchers, how those guys end up getting moved into the bullpen. It's not just two pitches, but to a large extent, it really is. And it just works, right? It's very, very fun. And he's been very, very reliable. It's been, you know, Ross Atkins doesn't get a lot of wins or a lot of love lately, but you feel pretty good about ending up with him over Robbie Ray a couple of years back when that was sort of the big. A big question when everybody wanted Ray back. I mean, I think Gausman is, you know, if he plays out the entire contract, is going to go down as one of the best pitchers in club history. I mean, I don't see any way around that at this point. And it just such a fun story, such an interesting guy, off the field, open about smoking weed, had all those, the powdered donuts. That was a big thing for him years ago. And he was a guy who, you know, you talk about the old days. He was like one of the best prospects in baseball in like 2012, 2013, 14, when he was with the Orioles, and was kind of one of those guys where it was like, they had a couple of big arms where it was like, oh, Baltimore's going to be a problem, down the line, which I suppose they were, in the, 2015, 2016 times, and are again for with a very different shape to their team. A guy who, looked like he was maybe a bit of a bust and kind of had to reinvent himself or tweak some things. And it took him a while to really get on his feet. The Blue Jays have just really reaped the rewards. And I think Blue Jays fans have, right? Like it's cool to watch somebody just carve up lineups and not really have to, think too hard about it. It's like, you know, flash one or flash two, basically.
Yeah. Pitching is such an interesting way that it gets valued and moved around the league. Some of the contracts this guy is getting, it's, you're like, this is bananas. Like Kevin Gausman, an easy top 10 pitcher, a top single digit pitcher in the league, is like taking scrap 1 year deals to stay with the Giants back to back years after posting like 2.5 ERAs. It's wild because he's also still able to like do enough to get a triple digit contract a year later. It's interesting. We saw this offseason, the way that money did or didn't flow and when it did or didn't happen. Here's one. You mentioned that Atkins doesn't get a lot of credit for it. Like, I think all the time, it's like, what if they had given him a 1 year deal and he'd come out and done it for like what he would have been worth the next year? It's like, geez, a lot more than 490 something. It would have been through the roof. So you're absolutely right there. I'm looking forward to it. Let's go through a little bit quickly. Kevin Gausman, we mentioned, is the guy today. Bats left, throws right. I had forgotten that until I looked it up. Age 33 season, we mentioned it. Signed through 2026. The whole plane self-destructs after 2026. So he will be one of the people jumping off last or sold off last. $22 million that year. Or pardon me, this year. We mentioned the contract. December 1st, 2021. Pretty quick into free agency, but I believe that they were facing down a work stoppage in winter 2021, spring 2022, correct?
Yes, that's right.
So they jumped it, make sure they got him. 5 years, 110, crazy good deal. You mentioned the development path, drafted by Baltimore. You were bang on, fourth overall in 2012, traded in 2018 after that little window both of our teams enjoyed so much closed. He was packaged with Darren O'Day to the Atlanta Braves. So one window closes, one opens. A good half year, and then was waived by August 2019, picked up by the Reds. They granted him free agency after that year, and he signed 2 1-year deals with the Giants, where he became the man he is today. He went to the Giants and became a 4-5-win guy with ERAs below 3. The story and the path, you mentioned it. Kevin Gausman, it's quite a path to become an absolute ace in 2024.
100%. Yeah, it's been fascinating. And like a guy, like I was saying, at a time when Jays fans were looking more to the prospect world than we are really focused on now. And, you know, furiously reading Keith Law's stuff and keeping all the tabs on all the big guys who, you know, often did not turn out to be what everybody expected. And yet so many years down the line, you know, more than 10 years down the line, here he is.
Yeah, this is like if Jeff Hoffman became a great starter next year, right?
Yeah.
sort of thing.
Pretty much. Or, you know, or Aaron Sanchez, who, you know, what could have been there. It's a really fascinating path. You know, the getting waived thing, you know, we'll talk about a comp at the end, so I won't spoil anything. But yeah, you see, you don't see that very often. You know, just a late bloomer who really did have to take a real journey and is now. I mean, I think he gets disrespected a lot of the times when they put out, you know, people put out lists of like totally 10 or so best pitchers in the league. Because I don't see his name on there nearly enough, but I would put him up there with just about anybody. Yeah.
Yeah. Really is interesting the way that arm talent and the guys that do and don't get bet on, right? You're betting on, I mean, geez, it's a bet that there's nothing. The deals that the Reds make and the deals the Giants make, they get him for absolute peanuts. And they're like, maybe he can give us the fifth role and start it 25 times and tap dance through. He ends up breaking out. Part of that breakout continued into last year where he was so, so good. 3.16 ERA, 2.97 FIP was even better. And he looked 31 games started, 185 innings, 237 strikeouts, led the American League, 31.1 K rate. If you're curious, that is top 5 among qualified starters behind Strider, Ohtani, Snell, and Pivetta. I mean, you're talking about lists he's supposed to be on. Walk rate was 7.2% with 55 walks. All good for a 5.3 WAR per Fangraphs, or very stingy Baseball Reference said, 3.5 wins for 185
of
the best innings you look at. when you look at the insane. It's great. I fucking love it. When you look at 2023 as a whole, what is your sort of big picture takeaway of that bulky, impressive slate of numbers there?
Yeah, I mean, you cannot be unimpressed, right? I mean, I think I don't know where the BABIP went. I should have that up while I'm speaking about it, because that was a big issue in 2022, right? Like, it was
right.
All the FIP stuff looked great for him, but the ERA was still very good. But it was a lot of what was it, 3.35? Like, that's okay. That's good. That's real good. But yeah. A lot of it felt like, you know, some of the response to that was the Jays going and really loading up on defensive outfielders. I think that there's probably an element of, hey, Gausman had like the worst BABIP in like since the 60s or something like that.
That's right. I remember Blake tracking it. Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy.
363 he ended with in 2022 and got it down 41 points, but still a 320. Yeah. So it's always been high for him. But yeah, you're absolutely right. It's a crazy mark. It jumps out once it comes to Toronto.
Yeah. And you know, felt all the better for it, for that. Right. I mean, I think last year was, I don't know what Baseball Reference is smoking. It's probably something Kevin Gausman would enjoy himself. But 3.5 seems a little light. Again, delightful to watch. Just really, really a fun guy. A guy who doesn't look like an athlete, who's like not, you know, just an easy guy to cheer for.
Yeah. Let's talk about how he did do it. You mentioned the easy to fun to watch pitch mix. Fastball was the big winner last year, and I think that's a testament. It's interesting to look at. Like, the fastball ability is almost a testament to how much the word was out on how good his splitter is, I think. Mm-hmm. Fastball sat 95, touched it up to 99, I'm told. 50% usage through it a ton. Plus 16 run value. It has very nice movement to the arm side. This is crazy through it. 74.5% of the time it was a strike, but either a called strike or a swing. That's fifth highest in Major League Baseball strike percentage on an individual pitch. The splitter, the one that you write home about, sat 86, touched 91, 38% usage, only plus four run value. We'll get into that in a second, but still a crazy whiff generator, 43% whiff rate, all thanks to number one vertical or horizontal moving splitter in the league, number four in usage of a splitter. And he also throws, we mentioned, not exactly a two-pitch guy, threw slider last year 10% of the time. It continues to be not a true third pitch, but just a trying to steal a strike with it here and there. Doesn't move horizontal very much. It's more of a bullet or tight slider. Opponents hit 348 and slugged 565 off it. Doesn't throw it much against lefties. And the sweeper he threw 18 times. Just sort of tooled around with it. No real data on that one. You talk about the pitch mix. You talk about the individual pitches. A big year for his fastball ability and his fastball value. Less of a big year for his splitter. What do you make of that? Just sort of the fact that he was very good with two things and one thing ended up taking the bulk of the called strikes?
Yeah, I think maybe. I don't know if he was throwing it. Was he focusing on throwing it up in the zone last year, I think? Or there was a little bit of differences. And also there was a great piece of Fangraphs by Ben Clemens. I forget if it was earlier in the spring, about how he led the league in increased velocity on the fastball with two strikes, which I think is kind of an interesting thing. And, you know, I think part of the point is that, I mean, most pitchers do that. You know, guys are more likely to swing with two strikes, apparently, if you drill down into the numbers. For obvious reasons, they got to protect the plate. So adding a little bit of spice on that, when you got two strikes on you, I think is an interesting thing that probably also helped to sort of bring out, what was in the, a little more value to that fastball. The splitter thing is interesting, right? It is weird. And it's, it feels like the Twins kind of have a good read on it. And there've been times, yeah. People will talk about, is he tipping things and so it does, it's not as easy as it seems. Sometimes it's not always that easy. And I think that the that could be something, and those kind of runs, in the season could hurt him sometimes. But he seems to have done a really good job of avoiding it. And even though you have a 50-50 chance of guessing what's coming, it's wonderful. But yeah, I don't know why I do not have a theory as to why the splitter, the value seemed to go down on that this year.
Yeah, not a lot of huge changes. It's the third year in a row it changed in value. But again, this stuff is so nebulously calculated sometimes. He did throw it more often. He did throw it in the zone less. It started to get, I think, to a point last year where like the ideal Kevin Gausman splitter night was like he didn't throw any in the zone, and they were a ton of them were mm-hmm. were four strikes. He does steal strikes with it, of course, now and then. But I think part of it, I really do think it's a bit of a reverse. You mentioned him really gearing up for it on two strikes. I do feel part of it is like the splitter became such the signature out pitch that he got a lot of guys, as you said, throwing it up in the zone, touching 99, like throwing mm-hmm. throwing 97 with not regularity, but being able, when you talk about leaning back and really upping the velo, doing it into 97 is a lot different than doing it into 95 even. He's such a power pitcher. Mm-hmm. It made for such a great combo. And I just thought that probably has something to do with it. And then, you know, it's execution or whatever it is, a lot more innings with him revamped. The slider thing, I did talk about it, gets slugged off a lot. It's a bit of a guess deterrent for like being able to steal another extra fastball because maybe you give up on it. But I will say he is still throwing it twice as much as he threw it in San Francisco. I don't have a ton of concern about it because it's never been like a crutch pitch for him, but just something weird. It's easy for us to be like, just don't throw your worst pitch ever. But there's a limit to the two pitch.
100%. And you know what? And it's a nice handy like shorthand indicator for, oh, he's maybe not having a great night tonight. If you start seeing those sliders come out early when he's, you know, guys aren't chasing the splitter as well as he would like them to. You know, also kind of give some credit for, I mean, the splitter is an incredible pitch, but also, you know, Alejandro Kirk is really good at the bottom of the zone, stealing strikes, and that is a nice little combo that they've got able to work together there.
Yeah, when you see sometimes you'll see like a super cut of called strikes on the splitter, Kirk does really do a beautiful job of making that look like it is dead middle. It's quite a skill in that low strike. Circles on the Statcast, the red ones are fastball value, off-speed value, K rate, chase rate, whiff rate, walk rate. Is that good? Is he fastball and off-speed and strikeouts and walks?
That's pretty all right. Yeah, I would say that's okay.
Mercy me.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the walks I think have been a bit of a problem for him in the past, which he's really cleaned up a lot, which is something. You don't talk about it as much because the splitter is just so good. You know, you have like not just an elite pitch, but like a best in the league version of that pitch. But yeah, he does a lot of things real good.
Yeah, the walk rate went up from the year before, but we forget he had that incredible run to start his Jays career. Didn't give up a walk in the first five starts. It was like mid May when he gave up his first walk. The blue stuff, barrel rate and hard hit rate and breaking ball value, that again comes from the slider and mids, exit velo, ground ball rate, expecteds, and fastball velo, which is crazy because it's very hard. Expecteds in the ground ball rate, it's funny, basically every pitcher in this starting rotation is like a middle of the road ground ball guy. It's pretty clear that like hit the ball in the air and we think anything that isn't a home run is going to be no problem for us. That seems to be a pretty clear, the kind of veterans that they're targeting.
I feel that that's probably correct. You know, that's where their defense is at. Maybe it means you don't have to worry so much about third base defense and you can think about something else to do there than Kiner Falefa all the time. But we shall not get into that hobby horse of mine.
You got to rotate the cube in your mind. Third base is the new second base. And second base is the new third base. Exactly. Aurelvis is going to play second. Yes, there's the.
I think that's true, actually, though, right? I suspect that's true. I think he's going to mash lefties.
They're taking away the extra base hits. This is Mr. Baby, totally pilled me. They're taking away the extra base hits on the third base line and allowing up the middle to be one half step slower. Anyway, that's for another day. there was one thing I found, the thing that made me laugh out loud the most in this entire thing, because we have painted the picture of this unbelievable dude, right? This guy's been fucking incredible. So, like, basically the entire year. There's like a week where it's like, huh, he looks a little tired. Everything else is like unreal. These numbers, into the seventh, 13 out of 31 times, 9 scoreless outings, 15 times, 1 run or less, 20 times, 2 runs or less, 25 out of 31 starts allowed 3 runs or less. The Blue Jays were 16 and 15. Oh man, if that isn't like this dude in most other years, this is like, he is like 18 and 3, like 20 times 2 or less runs. It's crazy. It's crazy.
I'm ready to see a baseball team that is not the 2023 Toronto Blue Jays. I tell you that much.
Hard to believe. Hard to believe.
Except having lived through it, it's absolutely not hard to believe. But that is nuts. Yeah, because how? And yeah, this is a guy who, you know, it's a there are years when that season could have won a Cy Young, right?
100%.
Yeah, and that's 100%. Something he could still absolutely do in his career, and it would not shock anyone. They're out here just scratching and clawing to try to score one run.
Mercy. Brutal. Really, truly brutal. I mentioned the consistency, sub four ERA throughout the year. August was a little ugly, but he bounced back. The beginning and the end of the year were his two best times, which are the times you panic the most about, so that's probably good. 3.03 ERA in the first half, 3.38 in the second half. Nothing to really glean there. It was just good the whole way. My favorite little consistency and use thing, a 1.5 ERA on 5 days rest, a 5.21 on 4 days rest, and a 4.24 on 6+ days rest. So a man that, when you can get him into his routine and get him out of bed at the same time every day, he is fucking ready to go. 1.5 on 5 days rest.
Yeah, that seems to suggest they should probably be giving him a little extra rest every once in a while, because that what was it, 5.21 on 4 days rest?
Correct.
That's not you know, that's not really what you want.
Going down to a 4-man rotation was not the best for...
Yeah, I suspect that probably is correct, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. A leverage, you know, a good leverage guy.
Manoah going to come up and they'll go to a 6 rotation at some point.
Yes, so. Exactly right.
Either that or he's going to start the year on the 60 day. Who knows?
Well, they'll probably add Yariel and make it a 7-man rotation. And then you can't send Francis down, so no. It's going to be 8. Basically, every 2 weeks, you're going to get the chance to start.
But you know what? Just let Gausman pitch whenever he needs to pitch, and then figure out everybody else's routine after that.
Basically, exactly what they're doing, right? Getting him the start. He started today, thank God. Like, well, he's pitched since before I recorded this, because I was not well about the, like, can I just please see him?
Yeah.
I have the worst. The spring training always scares me in that way. Anyway, back on track.
Pitched really well today, too. It was perfect. Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, right. No problem.
Don't think he was facing, you know, the Texas Rangers lineup or anything like that. But you gotta get out the guys who are in front of you, and he sure as hell did that.
Yeah, no Florida Complex League, but it was a tough competition. He was good in leverage last year. Speaking of tight games and them not scoring for him, 17 of the 19 home runs he gave up were solo shots. 194, 257, 258 in high leverage, which tells you basically no power. In high leverage spots, and great late in games. The more he pitched, the better he got. 5.93 OPS on pitches between 51 and 75 in of the ninth thrown, of course, and 6.63 pitches 76 to 100. The rest of it's pretty straightforward. Not a crazy split righty-lefty. Lefties are league average against him, so they're a little bit better. 3.07 ERA at home, 3.27 on the road. Getting the benefit of that too bright scoreboard and the distracting music in the outfield.
Yep.
ERA of 2.255 when getting 0 or 2 runs of support. And as I always like to look at, the home run rate was below 1 per 9, was 0.77 in 2022. Usually 120 to 140 in his pre-dominant years. But limits the long ball have been a big part of the attack mode. Lots of different situations and things to digest there. Anything jump out at you or anything else caught your eye in terms of the situational way that Gausman succeeded last year?
Well, look, I'm curious and interested in the home run rate thing, which is sort of skipping ahead a little bit. But, you know, maybe that's why they turned the ballpark into a pitcher's park, right? You know, that's why they just suppressed the offense and that we got the season that we did. No, I don't know. Does something jump out to you here, really? Like
it's just consistency. He's just good in every split and in every game. It's wild. That's wild.
Interesting, though, also, I see, like you've written down here, 2.55 ERA when getting 0 to 2 runs or run support. Which is, you know, yeah, he's pitching to the score and like
Jack Morris. Jack
yeah, Morris exactly. There. That's what we're supposed to do. So I've been told. But yeah, no, that's nice. He's really good. I'd like to see him win a playoff game once in my life.
It would be nice. And I mean, looking at the projections, looking ahead, nobody too down on Kevin Gausman, and there's no real reason to be. Your low end of 3.44 from Steamer, they like him for 4.5 wins and 193 innings and 221 Ks. That home run rate, 1.11. Your high is the bat, 3.86 for 174 innings, still 200 Ks, 1.2 home run per 9. So they think probably the responsibility for the half run jump there, but still a 4-win pitcher. Zips has the least amount of wins, just under 4, but they also have him only throwing 170 innings. But ERA mid threes as well there. When you look at the projections, you will say looks pretty good. He has been better than that each of the last 3 years, though. Do we think the projections are still not up to the level that Kevin Gausman's actually at, or is this little jump back a third of a run totally reasonable?
Yeah, I think it's probably fine. I mean, you know, the aging curve does exist, but as he builds up more data of you know, elite excellent performance like he has the past couple of years, I think that that's, you know, showing more heavily in the projections now, though it's still probably you know, taking a look at what he kind of was in the past and hasn't accounted necessarily for some of the like incremental changes that he's made. But yeah, I don't know. Sounds really good. I'd bet the over on most of these things. Maybe not the 17 start or what? How many starts did you say? I don't know. Probably not 17, but 170 innings. That's what I'm thinking of. I'd like to think more than that. Kind of getting off to a slow start if that's the case, but you know, he's healthy and hopefully his arm feels better, or you know, feels good after the start that he finally had in the Grapefruit League, and you know, we can just kind of go from there.
Yeah, hoping because he usually starts so well as well. Historically, he's like a good out of the gate. He was incredible out of the gate in 2023. He was even better out of the gate in 2022. He had that 5-start streak without giving up a walk, as I mentioned, and was like immediately, it was like Robbie Ray who? Like immediately.
Yeah.
As soon as he got here, it's like, we just got another guy who throws fastball and splitter and gets a million strikeouts and no walks. It's fine. And he's better and he's cooler.
Pants are a little less tight, but that's you know what, with these new ones this year, maybe maybe that's okay. Yeah.
And that's so millennial to have tight pants. They're back past it already. But of course, all the Blue Jays pitchers are millennial. It's something I figured out over the course of this research. There's no Gen Z in the bullpen anywhere.
Wow.
The only Gen Z was Manoah, and they couldn't handle it.
So. Well, typical.
Nobody wants to work anymore, man.
I can't blame anyone there. I mean, let's not talk about my output this offseason. Looking forward to getting back into it. Having something to write about, but
amen. The discourse. I think people love Kevin Gausman. I think there's no reason not to love Kevin Gausman. I don't know anybody that's been negative on Kevin Gausman. People seem to love Kevin Gausman, and for good cause.
Yeah. Why would you dislike Kevin Gausman? What, like, does anyone even in the league, like, are there bitter fans? Are there people who just can't stand his face? Like, do Yankees fans hate him? I don't think so.
I'd imagine even Orioles fans are happy for him, right? Because he did pitch in the playoffs. He was sort of like, he was pretty good for them. 3-win year and a 2.5 win year. Not the guy he is now, but no. I would probably be happy for him, I think.
You can find anyone to have any terrible opinion. But yeah, yes. I would hope and think that for the most part, yeah, it's understood why he was traded, and then understood that, oh yeah, he did sort of harness that thing that we always thought he had.
Okay, we're at what can be the most challenging part of the entire exercise. You've been asked to force a comp for the incomparable Kevin Gausman. Where did your thoughts lead you here?
I'm thinking it's an older guy. He doesn't bat left, throw right. He bats right and throws left. He also dominant strikeout pitcher in the great sport of wiffle ball, and really only uses one pitch, and that's my goddamn self. I'm a wonderful wiffle ball pitcher using just one grip. I'm not trying to mix things up. It's like you see what I'm trying to do here. It's coming. You know, most people probably don't know this, but I assure you, it's a wonderful, perfect, almost like near perfect comp. but if I can pick a real, more real one though,
sure.
I don't want to break the format.
Of course,
I do keep thinking of like Edwin Encarnacion, who was a guy who was kind of had some hype coming up with the Reds. You know, didn't quite, you know, did had a good, you know, showed some power, looked like a could be a guy for a bit, but ended up kind of having to make his way through the league. And I mean, I know it was Toronto and then Oakland had him for like 10 days, but he got waived as much as Gausman did, Reds connection, and then sort of figured it out and became that guy late in his career. You know, there was another guy of that era with the Blue Jays, but I in terms of like a story, it's kind of, I think, similar. And I know he's a batter, but let's talk about Edwin. I love Edwin.
I love the abstract.
Now, another guy who doesn't like Edwin Encarnacion.
I mean, he's hanging around the team. I assume they all like him.
I mean, someone filed a lawsuit, but other than that,
I mean, that was a while ago. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, he is hanging around the team. I don't know if I've seen him in the last little bit, but nonetheless, yeah, I like how they're doing that stuff too, right? Victor Martinez hanging around as well, but let's go. I mean,
I like it.
I'm a good comp, but Edwin's a weird abstract one. Let's go with that.
Lateral thinking. I went career path on this and not pitch type as well. Mm-hmm. And I tend to Blue Jays tinge mine, and this, I was like, is this the one? And I'm like, this is the one. Chris Carpenter is my comp.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
But like, how would it feel to draft and develop a star pitcher and him be good, but not quite do it? And then you're like, okay, well, we gave it a shot. This window is over. Let's see. And he goes on and becomes a guy who at 29, after an ERA of like 4.8 with the Jays over 6 years, puts together a 3.5 ERA and then is like a sub 3 guy for a little bit, and is really, really good for a 3-time All-Star with the Cardinals. I thought that makes sense. That's probably a little bit like how some people that will bring up Chris Carpenter to you if you find the right people to talk to.
That, you know, that's one that did not cross my mind, but I think that's an excellent one. Absolutely. Though, like we were saying, I'm not sure. I don't think Jays fans were happy for him. And his success so much while they more cursed JP Ricciardi's name, but I'm surprised only 3 All-Star games for Carpenter, because he had a outstanding run there for a long time.
There's a lot of seasons where he doesn't really pitch much. 2007, 2008.
Let's not wish that on Gosman.
21 innings combined. Yeah. Then, let's hope that's not how this goes. Let's hope for the good run there. 34, 35, 36, because Carpenter is what we're looking for. Anyway, 2024 outlook. We've looked at predictions. We looked at what he did before. We looked at who he's become. In a grand scheme, sort of how do you see 2024 playing out for Kevin Gausman, aside from maybe crossing some fingers that he's as healthy as he looks?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just, I think and hope it's more of the same. I don't see a reason for the thing that he does to stop working, right? He's got an incredible weapon in the splitter, and the fastball is real good too. I think there's no reason to think there will be a real deviation there. I think he's going to lead the staff and start in the first game of the playoffs and then have a little vacation a couple days that starts a couple days later, probably.
Yeah, I mean, too soon. I think, you know, one more great year out of him, and he starts to show up on leaderboards, like you mentioned. Him as a guy, you know, he'll have some real ascension, some real helium, if you will. He's 26 currently on the Blue Jays all-time strikeout list, just behind Aaron Sanchez and Sean Markham. Another 200. He gets up ahead of Ricky Romero, Chris Carpenter, Marcus Stroman, and Tom Henke. He's looking at top 10. He could be top 10 in the team in strikeouts. Right now, the guy in 10th, Dwayne Ward, has 229 more. So another year like last year, and he's top 10 in the team history in strikeouts, staring down J.A. Happ. He could be a top 5 Blue Jays pitcher. I'll say that. He could be a top 5 Blue Jays pitcher.
But if he plays out the full contract, yeah. I mean, yeah. Well, and hopefully there's a reason for him to do that. And it's not, we're not talking about him in trade rumors in July or next winter.
Throw in like 2 playoff starts that are memorable, and I think you have the recipe for a franchise legend. And I think this counts as bigger picture talk. I think if they're able, as you said, if they're able to play out the contract, and I know we've become, once again, the roller coaster has come to the bottom, and we're all pretty sour on not the team in general, but just sort of the idea, like, you know, win a fucking playoff game. Like, don't let this core go out like this. Just because we do this all the time, but like, you would have, we all would have so happily been like, playoffs 3 years out of 4, 90 wins projected every year. Of course. Yeah. And now we're here and we're like begging this core to do something. If they do have a special year this year, even an ALCS run, there can be a big push for where these guys stand in team history. And Gossman is one of those guys that can really benefit from that and would go down as sort of the real ace of this era of this team. And I think he has the stuff to be it.
I don't know that that anybody's super serious, but maybe the people are serious. Like when Josh Donaldson retired this offseason, and he was not here very long, but people will talk about putting him on the level of excellence, which is probably a little much. the type of person that he is aside, but his accomplishments are pretty great. But I mean, I think there was a guy they had to take down from the level of excellence who was here for about the same amount of time as Gosman's contract runs. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that he could one day be one of those guys. We'll need some special things to happen, like you say, but this is that's the quality of pitcher we're talking about here, and showing no signs of slowing down. So just more of them strikeouts, more of the same. Let's go.
That's it. We've arrived at the end of the exercise. Anything else left in the chamber on Kevin Gosman? You can't wait to get out.
No, not really. I just want to have some of those white powdered donuts, though. Get the. You got Adam Jones to hook me up. That was like the only thing anybody knew about Gosman, other than he was a good prospect for like quite a while.
Always liked Adam Jones. It was always the toughest. Like, I can't believe the fucking Cardinals have this guy. Anyway, Andrew Stoughton, thank you so much for your time this evening. Thank you for the years. Takes and writing and content. Back at it this year, you said?
Back at it this year. Nick and I are also we're going to be podcasting with the Nation Network.
Am I breaking that?
No, I was on their pod the other day. Yeah. Sorry. But okay. You're breaking it to some people, I'm sure. which I don't think is going to mean much changes, but hopefully building out the brand a little bit. And but yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to like actually having something meaningful to write about, because it's real easy to not when the things are not at all meaningful.
Well, we've arrived at the fireworks factory. So this was so great. Thank you so much, man, for the time. We'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds great, man. Anytime. And thank you for the kind words. Always a pleasure.